Welcome to the Preaching and Leadership Podcast. This is the place where you'll get practical, actionable help on how you can preach and lead better. Our ministry partner for this episode is ministrydeal.com. They have a great product that I'm excited to tell you about. It's called 52 Giving Scripts, and that's just what it is, 52 Giving Scripts. You can say goodbye to last-minute offering talks with this product. Use this resource to plan ahead, allow others to be involved so you don't have to do it every Sunday. What am I talking about? The offering talk. Just follow the script, make it their own. Use giving scripts so you can make your giving time more effective and efficient than ever before. And here's what's going to happen, I believe, when you use these giving scripts. Because you're putting more of an emphasis on giving, your giving will increase. God will honor that focus. So to learn more, go to rookiepreacher.com/giving. That's rookiepreacher.com/giving. The Apostle Peter was convinced that he would follow Jesus no matter where Jesus went, even to the point of death. But Jesus told him, "Hey, Peter, actually what's going to happen, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows in the morning." And that's exactly what happened. So Friday goes on, Saturday goes on, and then Sunday happens. And the apostles, the women, all of Jesus' disciples who had been following him closely find out that Jesus is alive. And then 40 days pass, Peter gets to spend time with Jesus and sees his resurrected Lord, and that gives him a sense of courage and purpose and assurance that his last 3 years of his life, it wasn't a waste. And so Jesus then tells them, "Hey, what I want you to do with your whole life is to make disciples. I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And understand this, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age." And then Jesus ascended into heaven. And then what happened? This man who had denied Jesus because he was afraid started to preach to the Jews, to the crowds, and saying, "Hey, you are the ones who crucified the Messiah you were hoping for." More time goes on. People join the church. 3,000 people join the church. And then the disciples, Peter, they were taken before the Sanhedrin, flogged, and told, "Don't talk about Jesus anymore." And what does Peter do? He keeps preaching Jesus. Why? Because he was given courage. Because he believed that Jesus really did do what he said he was coming to do, that his death and his resurrection counted for everything in this world. He was given courage, and he led with courage, he spoke with courage, and he walked with courage. Today, on the Preaching and Leadership Podcast, we're talking about why courageous leadership is required to grow a church. A growing church is a byproduct of courageous leadership that prays boldly and takes bold action that honors God. But too many churches are led by passive leaders who pray passively and take passive action. For abundance of reasons, they have decided that what is too costly to risk in order to see what might be. They have traded in vision for the status quo. They have opted for comfort in doing what we've always done rather than stepping out into the unknown of change. Now, allow me to say it plainly. Courageous leadership is required to grow a church. This includes a church's board or its equivalent, its staff, lead pastor included. Right at the outset, you know if the leadership of your church is courageous or not. You know where they are. But even if you're telling yourself, "Yeah, we are passive more than courageous," like, that's where we're at. Take heart, because it doesn't have to stay that way. It doesn't have to stay that way. All we have to do to see this to be true, that courageous leadership is required to grow a church, is to go back to the book of Acts like we've done In it, we see boldness, courage, and a deep-seated desire to move God's mission forward. In Acts, we see Jesus' ragtag group of followers become spirit-filled, courageous leaders who do two things. They pray bold prayers, and they take bold action. And just like the first century, we must do the same today. Because the reality is, if pastors and lay leaders don't lead courageously, more churches will continue to die, and less churches will begin to thrive. The status quo will continue to reign supreme, and the church as we know it in the West will continue to lose ground. Now, I'm convinced that at the most fundamental level, the thing that holds churches back the most is a lack of courageous leadership. I've heard too many horror stories from too many pastors that illustrate this fact. Too many churches are leading from a place of fear and passivity, and really, it just breaks my heart. But instead of fretting on that, let's just look at the two pivots passive leaders can make to become courageous leaders. Just two things. Courageous leaders pray boldly. That's the first thing. Courageous leaders begin with courageous prayer, because courageous prayer comes from big faith in the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of the entire universe. And if leaders in the church lose sight of the greatness, the glory, and the power of the Almighty, then it won't be surprising to hear passive prayers that don't expect God to do much of anything. Instead, our faith must be restored in who God really is and how great his power is. Now, to him who is able to do infinitely more than we all can ask or imagine, let's just begin actually believing once again that God wants his church to be healthy and to grow. But be warned, as soon as you begin praying boldly, God will give you a bold vision for the future of the local church. And it is here that your courage will be tested once again. Because courageous leaders pray boldly and they take bold action. If you're not sure whether or not the leadership of your church, including yourself, is courageous or not, simply watch how they and you respond to the first big vision God gives to them. Because bold prayers bring about bold vision, and bold vision requires bold action. If action is never taken on the first bold vision God gives your leadership, a disconnect of faith is occurring. It could be that a bold action you need to take is something like this. It could be to kill a program that is ineffective and taking up too many resources. It could be that you need to make a hire and you need to go and do that. It could be the next bold action could be letting a person go. It could be restructuring the governance of your church. And I'll actually have a link in our show notes at rookiepreacher.com/PLP6 with a link to how we at The Crossing have structured our governance in a way that allows us to facilitate growth as a congregation. It could be that the bold new change that you need to do is to introduce a new discipleship strategy. It could be that you need to start a second service. It could be that you need to preach a series on giving. It could be that you need to begin a conversation with the leadership on why your church isn't growing. Like, hey, why is this happening? And start to have really honest conversations about it where we don't get offended, but we actually are honest with each other and we really assess where our church is at and why we are not growing. It could be that the bold action you need to take is to change the way your worship service is done. Like, just for an example, please don't make visitors stand up and be singled out. That's just not cool. One of the recent bold actions we've taken at The Crossing is maybe a little bit of a unique one. We saw a need in our community among people who either work retail or they travel on the weekends. They like to go camping. Their kids are in sports. You know, they're just like typical American families who aren't prioritizing church on Sundays. And so what we thought, Kenny Wyatt, our lead pastor, had an idea. And he had seen a few churches in the Northeast and some other areas in the country doing this and thought, you know what, there's no other church in our area doing this. And we've always said that we want to be a church that allows for messed up people to be welcomed and for them to find hope and healing in Jesus and for him to clean up their mess. And one of the messes, right, in our society is that, you know, church and God, Jesus, like we're not prioritizing that in our lives. And so we could have thought, you know, okay, let's just rail against our culture. Let's just say, you know, I'm really sick and tired of parents taking their kids to soccer on Sunday mornings, all these complaints that we could come up with, and, you know, we certainly can be frustrated with, for sure. But he had a thought. What if we started a service on a Thursday night, identical to the following Sunday, and made a way for people to attend church, to have an experience of worship alongside of their congregation, their church body, their church family, before they leave for the weekend? Like, say, hey, let's meet people where they're at instead of expecting people to change their priorities before they've even maybe even met Jesus. And so we've started a Thursday evening service, 6:45 p.m. It's more work. Everything's more compressed. I tell you what, the preaching routine has changed completely because he and I, we have to get our messages done that much sooner. And I've written about this before, I love to be able to have a day where I don't pay attention to the message, where I just kind of let it simmer, because I believe God does some work inside of me that's just kind of seems to be a place where he does some work inside of me to get me to a place where that message gets me. It's not just me getting the message. And so everything has been compressed. It's harder on our staff. It's harder on our ministry leaders. It's harder on everyone. But we've decided, you know what, it's important because we want to reach people who don't know Christ. And opening up the Thursday evening service opportunity has allowed us to meet many, many new faces. And so I'm just wondering, you know, what is the courageous action that you and your church need to take? Because it need not be some, it doesn't have to be something as extravagant or as unique as a Thursday evening service that's identical to Sunday instead of doing like a Saturday night. It could simply mean that you need to prioritize one very important thing in your year, and that is to have one focus for the whole entire year where you're rowing in the same direction, you and your leadership and your staff, and you're prioritizing something. I don't know what that is. But I do know that if you want your church to grow and reach people who don't know Jesus, then there are going to be some moments, there are going to be some decisions that have to be made that courage is required to be made in. Because without courage, fear will always take over. And when fear takes over, we always go back to what we know. And what we know sometimes isn't working. Sometimes what we know isn't working. Sometimes the reason why we're not growing as a congregation is because we've always done everything the same way. We've never changed. We've never thought, you know what, what can we change to reach people? Instead, we've always asked the question, why don't people come? There's a difference there. There's a difference there. If we always ask, hey, if maybe you're a congregation and predominantly without younger people, maybe 30s and unders are, or 40s and unders are not very big in terms of the demographics of your church. Instead of asking the reason why are young people not coming to our church, the more important question is, what do we need to change to make our church, our service, our community of believers be more welcoming and inviting to young people? Because if we always have this tendency to question the people we're trying to reach, then the onus, the responsibility, we're putting it on them. But the better option is to ask ourselves the question and put the onus on us, because we are the ones who have been called to go into all the world and make disciples. We are the ones who have been called to be witnesses. So I don't know what bold action you need to take. I don't know what it is for you and your church, but I do know that as soon as God gives you a bold vision, your leadership will be tested. Because in order for a bold vision to become reality, courageous leadership is required. And at its foundation, courageous leadership is trusting in God's power and God's vision enough to take prayerful action to move the church from where it is to where it needs to be. Because what has brought your church this far may not get you where it needs to go in the future. So the question is, what will you do? Because bold prayer and bold action are the two things that courageous leadership requires. And courageous leadership is required to grow a church. That'll do it for another episode of the Preaching and Leadership Podcast. I'm really excited that you have joined me on this journey. I hope you are being stretched and encouraged to continue doing the work that God has put in front of you and your congregation. Big shout out to Pastor TS on iTunes, who left a rating and a review for the podcast. Good, insightful information on leadership, they said, 5-star. Thank you so much for that. If you are enjoying this podcast, go to iTunes, leave a rating and review. That will help more people discover the podcast and grow in their preaching and their leadership. Hope you have a great week. We'll talk soon. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.